Amen. We'll remain standing now as we read together these words, brief words from the Gospel of Matthew, from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, one of the most important sermons that he ever delivered. And in the middle of that, Jesus says these words. Let us read them together. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it is a blessing to be with you this evening. Thank you all for braving Snowmageddon and for being here this evening. No, it really is meaningful to be here and to be able to worship with you, and I do appreciate the sacrifice that you made to be here this evening. We are continuing our sermon series called Surviving Christmas as we learn how to survive this Christmas season. What does it mean for us to live in such a time as this and also to celebrate Advent, the coming of Christ? And so we've been learning for the last couple of weeks about what this means, and this week we're talking about how to actually spend less this Christmas season. Most of the time we hear about spending more, about doing more, but tonight we're going to talk about spending less. If you have your sermon notes with you and you'd like to write things down, you're welcome to do that. They're in your bulletin. Just to recap really quick of what we talked about last week, we talked about how to worship fully, And so last week I asked you to make plans to worship Emmanuel, God with us, this Christmas season. That not only means to make plans to come to worship, to come here, but also to recognize that whatever we are doing, we are worshiping God. That wherever we are going, we are worshiping God. And so how to understand us worshiping God at the mall, when we are there, when we are doing that thing, how to worship God at the Christmas party, how to worship God in our home, how to do all of those things. And so that we would make plans so that we can worship God wherever we are. I also asked, we were talking about how our ministry and how our spending and how our Christmas season affects those who are the least, the lost, and the left out. And how because we are here, our Christmas should do something for those people. And so we learned about Daisy last week, who is in Tijuana waiting, seeking asylum in the United States. And I asked you to pray for Daisy. And I also asked you to ask God to pray how God wants you to help a child seeking shelter. Can you help me a second, Jay? There it goes. Okay, ask how God wants you to help a child seeking shelter, how we can pray for those children who are the least, the lost, and the left out. And so we are in the Christmas season, and we are looking at how to spend less because we've inherently run into a problem. We've run into a problem in our Christmas season, and the problem is simply this, that we cannot spend our way to a good Christmas. Right? We think of like this certain base level, like there's this line, and if I can get to this, if I can spend this much on every person, you know, which is an equal amount, if I can do all of these things, then we will have a good Christmas. And it's not true, right? It's a lie. And many times we are tricked. Many times we are convinced to buy more in the Christmas season. And we are taught to spend more in the Christmas season. And it's a trick. It's a lie. Really, we spend more because we believe in the myth of scarcity. We believe in the myth of scarcity. The myth of scarcity is simply that. It is a myth that tells us there is not enough. And if there's not enough, then we need to get out there and we need to get ours before everyone else gets it and we are left out. We've seen this myth of scarcity take hold in our world, and it looks a little bit like this.
It's Macy's One Day Sale Saturday with a preview day Friday with incredible jewelry deals of the day. Save 45 to 60% on Effie Fine Jewelry. Dazzling diamond pendant, now 45% off. Take 45% off all diamond studs. And save big on select fine jewelry clearance, now 65% off. Get incredible jewelry deals of the day. Macy's One Day Sale Saturday with a preview day Friday. Don't miss it.
So how many days do you have? You have one day. You have one day. Like, why? Like, are jewels going bad? You know, like, is there, what is happening that you have one day? They're creating this myth of scarcity. There's this, the day is scarce that you can buy this thing that there's only one day. They said it, you know, 50 times in a 25-second commercial that you only have one day. There's this myth of scarcity that is constantly telling us that we only have a set amount. There's only limited supply, and we have to go out and we have to get ours. And it's simply not true. It is not true. It's a lie that convinces us to spend more. And truth be told, it works. It works, right? If it doesn't work on us, maybe it works on those other people, you know? Like, that we find out that more than half of Americans say they spend too much during the holiday seasons. Is that true? Absolutely, that's true. We spend way too much over the holiday seasons, and 55% say the season causes them to stress over their finances. But it's not the way it has to be. There's actually another option that we can choose differently this holiday season. We can do something different. And that's where we come to this discussion of God and wealth. Again, Matthew 5 through 7 is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it's this teaching of Jesus. Basically, it's like his thesis. He says, you know, if everything went right, this is the way it would be. And he delivers this Sermon on the Mount, and all this crowd came and gathered to listen to him preach. And in the middle of that sermon, in Matthew 6, 24, Jesus said this. He said, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Jesus said, we cannot serve God and wealth. And some of us may think, you know, well, you know, that's not a problem for me. You know, like, I don't have money. You know, like, I don't have it, and so it's not a problem for me. But the thing was, when Jesus was preaching, when he was delivering this, he was delivering the message to the people on the outside. Right? Like he was delivering this message to the poor, the least. He was delivering this message to them, and he was saying that those who are not wealthy, you cannot serve money. And you cannot serve God and money. You can't do it at the same time. Now, look at this. You don't have to have an excess of money to want to serve money. That many of us can think that if we had it, it would solve all of our problems. Right? You know, like if I won the lottery, if I just won the lottery, all of my problems would melt away. You know, my kids would get better grades, my marriage would be better, you know, like all of these things, my job would be perfect, my boss wouldn't yell at me, like all of these things would be perfect, and it's not true. It's not true. In fact, Jim Carrey, who's not even a Christian, he said this. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. A person who probably has an excess of money said, I wish that everybody could have all of this money that he has so that they can understand that it's not the answer. Somebody on the other side of that what if told us that it doesn't work, right? That it's not the answer. Jesus himself said, you cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve both, right? Now, notice what he did not say. Notice what he did not say. He said, you know, we can have both, but we have to choose one to serve, right? We can have both, but we have to choose one to serve. Dallas Willard, a Christian theologian, said, you know, money is better in the hands of Christians than the crooks, right? That if we had to choose, we would hope that the Christians would have, you know, the money so that they can help deliver it, they can help dispense it, that's the way it would, you know, work ideally. That we can have both, but we have to choose one to serve. And we have to choose it in the right order. Jesus said if we served money first, if we served this idea of spending first, if we served this idea of consumerism, if we served this idea of the myth of scarcity first, it would all fall apart. It would all fall apart. And that's what Paul says in his letter to Timothy. He says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Paul says the love of money, the serving of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That people who are striving to be rich have fallen into all kinds of traps. And the reason is because serving money means never having enough. If we wanted to be rich, we said, my goal is to be rich, we would never get there because there is constantly somebody who has more than we do. And it would constantly create a more mentality. We can see this in our world today. We know that people are stuck in this kind of idea of more. And we know this because there's an Instagram account called Rich Kids of Instagram. You've never seen it. Okay, here we go. So these are Rich Kids of Instagram standing on top of their cars in like matching clothing. I'm sure like they bought for the sole purpose of taking this picture, right? And the sad part is that, you know, this mentality, you think, okay, like you've got the car and the outfit, you're good, right? And then they would say like, no, you know, like it has to like breathe this kind of thing. This says my passenger earlier, just a pick of everyone I can trust. And then there's Louis Vuitton bags and all these different kind of shopping bags, right? This kind of more mentality, these rich kids of Instagram. And then if you had this kind of idea, like if you say, like, okay, you've got, you know, you went shopping, you have enough. And they'd say, no, like, I need more. I need a yacht with a hole on the back of it so that I can swim. Like, it could be like my own section of the, you know, of the ocean, right? Like they are like sequestering off the ocean, like this one is mine wherever I go. You know, it's like this more mentality. And you'd say, okay, like if you've got the yacht, like you're good, that's enough. And they would say, no, I need like a car, and then I need to put all my watches on the steering wheel so that I can take a picture of it. Like, how does the watch stay on the ends? It baffles me and it really concerns me. But like you have to take this picture. Like there's this more mentality. We know that if we served money, it would breed this kind of more mentality. Friends, we would never get there. We would never arrive. And truth be told, we would be exhausted. We would be exhausted from trying to get more our entire life. But Jesus tells us that there is enough, that we don't need to strive after more. Jesus tells us that there is enough. In fact, his miracles prove that in the kingdom of God, there is enough. The kingdom of God, where what God wants done is done. God says, this is the way I want the world to be. And Jesus introduced it into the world. And he said, look, there is this kingdom of God. And wherever the kingdom of God is, there is plenty. There is enough for everyone. And we know this because of all the miracles that Jesus did. All the miracles that Jesus did, including the first account that we have of Jesus doing a miracle is in the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus and his disciples are invited to a wedding in Cana of Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, this you know, kind of small town wedding. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody was happy to see Jesus. And they were like, Jesus is back. Yeah. So Jesus is there. And they're having a great party. It's this great thing, and it goes late into the night. And then, you know, maybe as like any party happens, eventually, like the worst thing that could happen was that the wine ran out. Now this is like kind of a bad thing today, but back then it was a really bad thing, right? Because one of the most important qualities in their life was hospitality. And if you had a guest over, you had to make sure that you were being hospitable towards them. And especially if you were throwing this wide, lavish party. You had this huge party for everyone in the town to come. And if you ran out of wine, that looked bad on you. And so this bad thing happened. People started whispering, you know, did you hear? The wine ran out, you know, and then they're like, what do we do? And so Jesus's mom actually decides to do something that when the wine gave out, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to Jesus, they have no wine. They have no wine. That's all she said to Jesus. That's all she said to Jesus. She didn't say, they have no wine. Can you run down to the grocery store and go buy some? Right? They have more wine. Can you do something about that? She said, they have no wine. And then she turned around to the attendants and she said, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Jesus kind of protests against her for a little bit, right? And says, you know, it's not my time. It's not yet time for me to be revealed. But his mother knows. His mother knows. And so Jesus tells the attendants to bring these six large basins full of water for cleanliness, these six large basins of water. And then he has them take them to the attendant, has them take them to the host. And when they pull the water out, these six large basins are filled with wine. They're filled with wine, and not even the bad kind of wine, the good kind of wine. And the host, you know, goes to the bridegroom, is holding the whole party, and he says, most people put out the good wine first and then the bad wine, but you have done it in reverse order. You have done this great and hospitable thing. And this is a great miracle of Jesus's, not just because he kept the party going, but because he proved that in the kingdom of God, there is enough. There's enough. And so then it comes to the question of us and wealth. We know how God deals with it. We know how Jesus deals with it. The question is, do we deal with it in the same way? And especially when it comes to the gifts that we give and we receive, do we deal with this idea of enough in the same way, in the same mentality? And so I want to ask you this. You know, what was the worst gift you ever received? You don't have to say it out loud. Does something come to mind immediately when you say, you know, what was the worst gift you ever received? Don't nudge your husband if they gave you the worst gift that you ever received. But just, you know, like picture in your mind's eye, what was the worst gift you ever received? For me, the worst gift I ever received was an accordion file folder. Let me explain. So I won't give away the person that did it, but you know, we were at a Christmas party, and there were some gifts being given out, and there weren't any in my lap. There wasn't a gift in my lap, which was fine. This wasn't the kind of party, you know, like where everybody noticed it or anything like that. And I was fine not receiving a gift. I'm not like, I don't have to have one. And somebody noticed that I did not have a gift, and so they quickly put an accordion file folder in a bag with some tissue paper and handed it to me. Okay, now, it's not like I was like talking, I sure love to file things, you know, like it wasn't like, you know, they were like, you know, I know how much you like blue or like whatever, like it was just, you know, there was this idea that somebody had to have a gift, because if they don't have a gift, then they're not appreciated and they're not loved, and it's not true, because we know that there is enough. We know that there is enough. And when it comes to gifts, we have this whole thing in Christmas backwards. When it comes to gifts, we have this whole thing backwards. We read about gifts in the Gospels, right? We read about gifts in the birth of Jesus. We read about it in the Gospel of Matthew, that these wise men, they're called wise men in our Bible, but they were actually astrologers, right? They were watching the stars. And so when they saw the star that had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and paid Jesus homage. And then they opened their treasure chest and they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, these were gifts typical to give a king. They were appropriate to the person was that they were giving them to. And you know, we commonly talk about three wise men. The only reason we talk about three wise men is because there were three gifts. And it wasn't like there was this huge train of people to all give all different kinds of gifts. There were three. That, you know, we have common depictions of giving these simple gifts to Jesus. These three gifts to Christ, the Savior of the world. How many gifts do we demand? When we say it's not Christmas unless I get this many. It's not Christmas unless this person gets this many. And commonly that number is over three. The first nativity was never about gifts. It was about a relationship. The chances are if we received a poor gift, if we received something, a gift that we didn't like, it was something that didn't honor our relationship with that person. And I wonder what our Christmas would look like if we just actually honored relationships with other people. If we said, this is our relationship, this is how I understand our relationship, and it doesn't matter what kind of gift I give you, it matters what kind of relationship we have. Because truth be told, we have an addiction. We have an addiction to stuff. And just like any other addiction, that this addiction will ruin our relationships and cloud our worldview. This will cloud everything else if we let it. It will shape and shade everything else if we let it. We have to quit. We have to let it go. And so as we look at this Christmas, we look at the Advent Conspiracy, this book we've been reading together, and it says this, that the challenge is to balance our desires with the needs in our communities and the rest of the world. Because if we spend less this Christmas, that means we can give more, right? If we waste our money less on gifts for people who don't need anything else, that means we can give to something where people are actually in need. And so my hope, my prayer is that we would start looking now. I know some of us have already done some Christmas spending, maybe all of it, but I hope that we would set a budget. And we say, like, I've already bought half the gifts. That's okay. Set a budget now and look at the rest of our Christmas and what am I going to buy? That we would know the limit. That limit would not exceed our means. That we would spend within our means and that we would even have more. We would have more left over. That we would set a budget. That we would spend money intentionally and thoughtfully. We would spend money intentionally and thoughtfully. Our money is our strength. Our money is our power. And I hope that we would be very intentional about what we do with it. That we would not just spend it meaninglessly. That each and every place we put it, we make sure that people are being honored. That people are not being degraded. That people are not being enslaved because of the money that we spend. I hope that we would spend it intentionally and thoughtfully. And that finally, that we would value relationships over stuff. We would value relationships over stuff. Not only our relationships with one another, but our relationships as Christians to the world. That we would know that because we are here, somebody else is able to receive. That because we have spent less this Christmas, that other people are able to eat. Because we have spent less this Christmas, that other people are able to drink clean water. C.S. Lewis says this. He says that, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. He says this, he says, I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. To give more than we can spare. This is the ideal. This is if it was done perfectly. C.S. Lewis says this is what it would look like. This is what it would look like. Ideally, if we spent less this Christmas, it means that we could give more to things like this. This is footage taken from Guatemala. Twice a year, we send teams to Guatemala to dig water wells for people who are dying of waterborne illness. That if we spend less this Christmas on gifts and honestly junk that people don't need, that means we can give more to things like this where children are pumping clean wells for the first time as the entire town stops and watches water come out of a spigot because they haven't seen that before. If we spend less this Christmas, that means we can do things like this. And I think that's a better use for it. Let us pray. God, I ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. God, that you would come here, that your Spirit would dwell with us this morning. God, that you would do something mighty this evening. God, I pray that you would be here. God, I pray that you would change us, that by your Spirit, you would mold our hearts. God, that you would break our hearts of stone. God, that we would begin to have compassion for your world, for your children that are hurting, your children that are hungry, your children that are thirsty, your children that are lost. God, I pray that we would begin to see in every commercial for things we don't need, that in those commercials we would see a world that is desperately in need of your grace, in need of your love. God, I pray that you would break our addictions. God, that you would enter our lives. Lord, that we would quit, that we would be rehabilitated by your Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would continue to change us, that as we leave here, your Spirit would continue to work on us. Lord, we ask for it. We pray that you would do it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who came and lived and taught us even how to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.